entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Cindy DeFerdinand, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron along with Cindy DeFerdinand.
Hi, everyone. Welcome.
All right. Okay. Better late than never, but we are getting started. So
a little technical difficulty, right?
Yeah, you know how it is down here. So well, it's another great week in the field of coaching, and we have another guest today on our show. Yeah. Cindy, we'll have you bring on our guest.
Yes.
and introduce. Please do. Go ahead.
Okay. Today we have on the show wonderful Joan Wise, who is a family relationships coach, as well as a teacher, and has developed a lot of programs that help families. And I'd like to welcome you, Joan, today, and ask you to say hi to our audience and maybe give us a little bit about your background and what led you to coaching originally.
Okay. Hi, Cindy. Thanks for having me.
You're so welcome.
My background was for years psychology and education, and I was a teacher. And then I retired when my first grandbaby arrived for a while. And then I was looking for something to do, and I found this job in a counseling agency to teach parenting. And that sounded interesting to me because my teaching background was mainly in early childhood, and I did a lot of parenting with families. So I didn't realize when I took the job that my clients were mostly substance abuse individuals who had trouble with substance abuse, but some of them were in domestic violence situations. And because of that, I needed to get trained in that whole dynamic. And when I did that, I started to do what they call batterers intervention groups. I work with perpetrators, helping them to develop skills to improve their lives and to stop the issues that they had.
Right.
And,
wonderful.
When I was doing that, for a while, money in the County of Orange here in California was drying up and hours were getting slimmer and slimmer. So I was looking around to see if there was something else I could do. And I met a friend who had a friend who was opening something called the Couples Coach. And I thought, that's something I think I would be interested in. Because many of my co-facilitators and some of our clients would often say, if I only knew some of these skills sooner, I might not have gotten into this situation. So I thought,
Good point, huh?
Yeah, look out for what you wish for, because all of a sudden this was being offered to me. So that's really how I got into coaching. So then I got certified to be a life coach, and here I am.
Right. And your focus, tell us a little bit about, I know you work within the court system. I know you have developed a program called Families Are Forever to help the parents going through divorce to be better parents through that transition. Tell us a little bit about that work, as well as how you focus your coaching around the family.
Well, I like to say that I work to bring peace into relationships that are in conflict. So that's kind of how I got into this, was working with couples that had issues. But in both my private coaching practice and my court practice, inevitably there would be issues with the divorce and children. And
right.
It's so sad, children that are the collateral damage of happening in the divorce process. People tend to get a little crazy in that emotional breakup that's happening, and the children kind of get lost, or worse, they get to be the pawns between them.
Right, that is worse. So you're advocating for the children as you're working as a couples or family relationship coach.
Yes. And I often will say, if you ask a parent, and even a parent in divorce, you know, would you do anything for your child? You know, would you jump into a raging fire and pull them out, or into a river if they're drowning? Would you do anything to save that child? And of course they always say, yes, I do. And then I'll say, well, then can we work to be, you know, at least civil with your partner?
Right.
And be like, oh.
Because they don't relate the two. Yeah. It's almost like a lot of people I've seen, they're almost in an out of control state, some of the things that they do, which they don't think about the effect on the kids at the time.
Yeah. So true. Yeah. And I truly understand that it's a very emotional. I have not been through divorce, but I have family members who have. I have clients who've been through. It's, you know, very emotional, but again, we can learn. That's part of my program, is learning how to contain our emotions.
Yeah. Right. And the work you do with the courts, is that primarily focused on the couple's relationship?
Well, for a while I was doing the batterer's intervention, but right now I just do parenting for the courts also. So.
Okay.
And my work has taught me something, you know, early on, that you can really make a difference in a relationship. It's like a rubber band. If we were holding a rubber band together and you were perfectly still, but I was pulling it, you could feel the difference in the energy because of what I was doing, even though you did nothing. Because the court programs are only one hat. It's either male, you know, all male or all female groups. So you don't get the couple. But just by working with the dynamic, you can affect change in the relationship if the person's open and ready to work on changing things.
Right. So what are some of the things you do that may help people relate to each other better? I mean, like where they have sort of an aha moment, like we talk about in coaching, to get the shift you're looking for.
Well, one of the things I found in the couples that I work with, that so often, most of them will even come in and say, we have an issue in communication. And that's true.
Yeah, that's,
we don't how to communicate.
That's a big one. That's a big one, right?
And often a lot of the issues that come up are, communication was not being done well. And then as a result of that, other things. Even infidelity sometimes, you know. When I work with couples, if they're willing to try to work through it, to say, you know, this is like the floodlight. Just put a highlight on some of the things that are not working in your relationship.
Right.
And then, you know, the two deciding to work on this, they kind of grow apart, and then they find other people and they find other things, but they never really worked on what it was that, you know, was the catalyst that caused this to happen.
Caused the rift. Yeah,
yes.
The distance between. As you, I know we talked a little bit about the court work. In private practice as a coach, do you typically just see the couple together? Tell us how that might work in your private practice.
I would say most of my clients are couples, but not, I will see one member of the couple if they choose to. I've had several clients who just come in on their own to work on themselves.
Right. But they're working on their relationship or just... working on themselves, does that mean like outside their relationship, or is it always focused on the relationship stuff?
It's usually focused on relationship stuff. And sometimes, like several times, I've had men who come in for anger management. It's interesting. The men will come to me for anger management. The women come for more self fulfillment and self-development. So it's kind of the same work often.
Right.
But work on those skills. And then sometimes, just, you know, we get to the point where they feel good and they're working on it. And they say, I'd like to bring in my partner so we could work together. So that happens too. So it's a whole different, you know, just a variety of ways I see people.
Okay. Bruce, in your private practice, do you see couples or typically just individuals?
Yeah, quite often I see couples.
You know. Okay. Bruce.
Often couples
want
to make changes.
Okay. Are you there, Bruce? I can hear you in the background.
Yeah, I'm here.
So in your practice, do you see couples as well or mostly individuals?
It's a mix. I mean, I do see
a fair amount of couples. It usually ends up that way in my practice, coaching or even otherwise with the psychotherapy practice. In my world, usually it's the male who has been discovered, either through infidelity or a porn problem or perhaps some sexual innuendo behavior in the workplace that got the individual got the attention,
got them
supervisors
flagged, yeah.
Right, and they need this problem addressed for this man to continue to work for the company or wherever he may be employed.
Yeah, at the executive and level.
And so then, you know, being trained as a systems person, you know, I mean, with marriage and family and systems person, I usually bring in the partner, spouse, companion, whomever, you know, middle to end of that experience, and do some couples work alongside the individual. So yeah, it's
yeah. Thanks for I just wanted Joan to see that you do some parallel work similar to what she does. You know, Joan, I was just thinking as Bruce was talking, can you share an example or, you know, what a positive outcome would be? Because, you know, not everybody stays together, but, you know, obviously that would be a great outcome if there was peace and they stayed together, kept the family whole. Tell us what you're looking for when you work with people. And I know it's all about the client, and the outcome
right.
is about the client being willing to change, move forward, do the work. The coach is the partner, the facilitator. But, you know, as you got into this work, and I know, and knowing you personally, you know, I've heard you say, you know, the kids are a big part of why you do this, so that the kids get parented in a more healthy way. But tell us a little bit about, you know, what draws you to the work and what gives you satisfaction in doing this.
I think particularly since I kind of my journey to this work was with such a dramatic population of often members who the rest of society are quite fearful of, I discovered that when a person gets to the point where they really want to change, and if you give them the tools and skills to work on to do the change, they can make dramatic changes in their life. And that's the aha moment. That's the thrill of working with people, is to see the changes that happen in their lives.
And the willingness that once they're willing.
And the willingness, yeah. Yeah, that's the key. They have to be willing. We can't, you know, I'm still looking for that magic wand, Cindy, when I find it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No kidding. Yeah, I wish I had one of those too. But it, you know, and I think as coaches, you know, we're taught in training that it isn't about us. You know, they have to row their own boat. We're just in there with them. And so the client has to be in a position, or at least through the coaching process, get to the position of really wanting to make a difference. Do something different to move them forward and change what's not working. And we can't do it for them. So we all know that as a coach, but yeah, I get what you're saying. It's just, so your drive, your enthusiasm in doing this work is to watch them finally get to the point where they're willing to make those changes and do the work.
Yeah. You know, you asked for an example, and I had a couple that he did come to me for anger management. He was, as I often hear, you know, somebody say, I am whatever, and we're passionate people, and that's how it came to me. But, you know, I said, passion's great, you know, hostility, aggression is not, so maybe we can learn how to channel that passion. And he worked and worked on that, and then his wife came in, and we worked together. And they had a teenage son who would often talk to the dad and not listen to the mom, I think. And she would often call him and say, you know, I need help with, let's say, Joe. You know, I need help with him. And his interpretation of that was he would take Joe aside, or he would call him up and say, you know, you have to listen to your mother or something like that. Again, not having a conversation of what does that mean to you that you want his help. He really was clueless.
Right,
so
right.
We were, we worked on being able to express, particularly on his part, when she said something to him, to ask, you know, to ask those clarifying questions. So what does that mean? What do you need me to do, rather than to jump into action and do it?
Right, right. That's a wonderful point. I think even people who aren't dealing with anger management can relate to that. I need you to do that, you know, do something about this without actually explaining what that doing is. That's a great point.
So they came into my office one day and they shared the story that she called him at work and said that, you know, Joe was blah, 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 I need some help. And so he says to her, well, he says, I don't really understand. Can you tell me what it is I need you to do? And I wanted to just hug him, you know, it was like just perfect. He was really working and learned that skill of how to communicate with each other.
Right. Asking for clarification.
Right. And so when you see them working and doing and seeing the dynamics change, it really is great.
That's awesome. Do you work with just general parenting or just with this population specifically?
I wouldn't call myself a parenting coach, but it comes up in, you know, couples and relationships sometimes. And I do, you know, I had a couple who came to me as premarital, which I don't get a lot of those, but I did have one. And they called me about, 2 years after that, saying they wanted to come back in. And when I contacted them, they said, you know, they enjoyed the premarital so much, they wanted to do pre-parenting because they were expecting a little one.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
You know, I do.
Proactive. That's awesome.
Yes. Yeah, they're a great couple. I love them.
There's a specialty proactive. That would be fabulous, premarital coaching. That would be a great area.
Mm-hmm.
Get them communicating before the trouble begins, right?
Right, right. Yeah.
Right. So, and tell us a little bit about, I know you have taught coaching as well, and you have a teaching background. How did your background serve you well in terms of coaching, teaching the coaching?
Well, now I have a perspective on teaching that I learned years ago, and it was, you know, it's based on the word education, which comes from two Latin words, which means ex, which means to bring out, and duce, which means to lead. And the purpose of education is really to lead the information that your students have in there out of them, you know, more so than, you know, pouring information in. So I always had that kind of approach to teaching my students. So I felt very comfortable with coaching, that's the same idea. We really do believe that everybody has those resources trapped in there somewhere. It's just not aware of it. And if we can get them to pull it out,
it's almost like you're getting them to open up so that it can come out, you know, the process can start. So it was pretty much a natural for you to go from your early, you know, education, teaching experience into actually teaching coaching.
I think so. And I love to engage with people, and I love to question and throw things out and let them think about it and see what they come out with and, you know, what's good, what's, you know, not good. You know, that's my teaching style. I don't really lecture.
Right, right. More interactive.
More interactive. And I love that dynamic.
Right, right. And Bruce, I'm going to turn it over to you to see if you have any questions, because you guys have a little bit of some parallel.
Sure. A little bit about how do people find you? I mean, now that you've been doing this for a while, what are the usual or the normal channels and pathways by which people find you and engage
reach out
you?
To you?
I have to say that most of my clients are referrals from either clients or other colleagues that I know who are either therapists or marriage and family therapists. In my agency, we have many addiction recovery coaches or facilitators, and call themselves coaches. So I do have a website, but I don't do much marketing that way. It's mostly word of mouth, getting out there, meeting people, and referrals.
Right, and you said the agency. What is the agency that you're referring to?
It's called Wellmore Psychology. It's a group that has a contract with OC Probation, and we do addiction recovery work and anger management, domestic violence groups, and parenting groups.
So you draw referrals from that work?
Yes.
Oh, good.
But
good.
I don't really get private clients very much. I have a few. Actually, there's another facilitator there that's also been through the training. So sometimes we refer to each other because if she's got the husband in the group and there's some issues that the wife wants to help, it would be a conflict of interest for her to work with the wife. So I can coach her and vice versa. So sometimes we do things like that. So I just had a client that I was
she's a coach as well?
Yes, she is. She went through our training.
Okay, so that's sort of... Do you then collaborate? Because I see that as more collaborative coaching. Do you collaborate each of you together?
It's a sticky wicket because what one client, it's confidential what happens in both of our sessions. So we can't actually share what's happening.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You know, all right.
But hopefully making gains on each side.
Yeah, you know, things like, you know, so-and-so seems to be happy or things seem to be good in their family. Things like that, we get feedback, but you can't really discuss what's actually happening, even though you would love to.
Yeah, because then you might move it even further along. So, and your practice is in Orange County, right?
In Orange County, yes, in Costa Mesa, Newport Beach area.
Okay, and... I understand you have a program, Families Are Forever, and tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, again, that's trying to help families who are going through divorce to just learn how to be healthier co-parents. And the program really has three facets to it. The first one is, again, it's very much the coaching part. It's like reframing, restructuring, retelling the story. You know, often divorce just when someone hears the word. I mean, what's the first reaction you hear when you hear divorce?
Negative.
Usually a pleasant one. Yeah, it's very negative. So can we? And really, the word divorce doesn't mean it just means like to divert. It really means to go down a different path. If we can start to shift our story, again, that whole thing of thinking of it differently, that this is, I have a friend who calls it research and development rather than being a failure. You know, this was a period of research and development. You know?
I like that.
So trying to do that, to learn how to shift to, you know, it is based on a cognitive behavioral therapy, which Bruce, I'm sure, is there, right, uses. But, you know, if we have a, something that we react to and we have a belief about it, if we can change that belief, we often can get a different reaction. So we work about what the feelings are and is it true. I love the work of Byron Katie. So, you know, the statements of, is that true? Is it really true? How do we know it's true? Did you ever see a situation where it wasn't true? Again, just trying to get their thinking to shift a little bit.
So they're looking at it more positive.
Right.
So, you know, so I just had an interesting question I want to ask you. You know, like with divorce, it's like people will say, well, it'll take you at least 5 years to get over it, and the first 2 years are horrible. You know, all that kind of rhetoric.
Right.
If you use these techniques that you're talking about in order to reframe their thinking, get them to look at it from a different angle, maybe a more positive angle, do you find that the process of – I guess the torture part that we perceive in divorce is actually shortened? Or do you see examples of people divorcing and putting the children first and being cooperative?
In some cases, yes. Again, divorce, just like people, are very individual. And so sometimes, I know you love boundaries, sometimes there's a big boundary issue part we have to deal with. And, so depending on, you know, it can, you know, if we can learn to think of things differently, shift our thinking, learn how to contain our emotions, shift our emotions, and then how to maintain that That's the third piece. Third piece is learning how to maintain it. We can shift and make things happen.
Well, and probably, the people that come to see you probably are trying to work through conflict, or if they're involved in the court. So people that maybe are handling it well and putting the children first, maybe they're not so much showing up in your office.
Well, yeah, true. Usually it's people in conflict. But again, there are different degrees of conflict. And if you have two fairly mentally healthy people who are in conflict, you can make some progress. There are always issues where there's one part of, or maybe even both of the people have some strong
issues,
maybe control issues and things like that, where then we have to work on having healthier boundaries and learning how to deal,
Right.
Again, divorces come in different. Some divorces you can have, people are very, they have a visitation program, schedule, but they're, if this one has to switch, they'll do it, and they're real easy. And some people, you really need to have a very structured, And if we have changes, it has to be a very structured, way of
communicating. And okaying it.
It really depends on individuals and the type of divorce. But no matter what, we can still learn that, I don't have to like the other person to be a healthy co-parent and to focus on the children.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you can still do the right thing, even if you don't like the person anymore. Hopefully you liked them at one point, right?
And again, the tagline is, that relationships end, but families are forever.
I love that.
For whatever reasons going on, these children didn't have to come into this world, made a decision to have children, and now we have to, we're dealing. They're always going to be their dad. They're always going to be their mom. So we have to learn how to best deal with that.
Yeah, almost like compartmentalize it, so that you can be available in a positive way. Yeah, because I do believe the children are affected dramatically. And a lot of times the parents are so caught up in the emotions of the divorce that they forget that it doesn't impact them.
Yeah. And sometimes, when I'm a single parent and we're divorced and I'm parenting my child, I feel so bad because I put him through so much and now he's separated home. So now my structure and my discipline at home kind of gets affected by this feeling of maybe guilt is the word, So there are lots of different ways where this divorce affects people and their parenting. And helping them to deal with that in a healthier way helps your children to become more.
Right. Instead of trying to make it up to them or placate them, you still have to parent effectively, which involves discipline and consequences for, and that sort of thing. Yeah. And I could see how easily that could happen with parents feeling the guilt,
easily.
They start indulging indulging and overlooking bad behavior, not setting those boundaries of discipline because they feel bad.
And here again is where the coach is so valuable, because you're that outside eye that's viewing it. Easily, when you're sucked in the middle of it and going through all these emotions and feelings, you can see how that happens. But here's the person who's saying, hey, let's take a look at this,
Right,
how
pointing
is that
it out.
Serving the family? How is that serving your child in the long run?
Right.
What could we do better than it?
Well, and there you go. It's just, you're just asking coaching questions.
They're
in the middle of it. They don't always see it. But when you frame it in a question, in a powerful question, they have to start processing and thinking about it. And all you're doing is making them aware of something that maybe they weren't aware of. That's the beauty of coaching. It's not like you're not saying, hey, you're doing this wrong. You're just saying, I heard you say this. And then framing it in a question so that they can see that the behavior may not be healthy without putting them on the defensive. It doesn't put people on the defensive. I've never seen coaching put people on the defensive. Bruce, what about you? It's definitely a discipline that doesn't put people on the defensive.
Right. I mean, you got to capture the, you know, both clients, I guess, in this couple sphere, that there's something here that needs to be changed. And but this is a very value, the interesting elephant in the living room is that this is a value system thing. When you say families are forever, well, they really are, right? I mean, particularly entitled, right? I mean, somebody, I'm always going to be, right, my mother's son, whether or not, you know, depending on what the relationship is, that's always going to be that way. But I was just kind of wondering, you know, how have you had, what are some of the techniques that you use with one of the parties when that one party is maybe more self-centered? They're self-focused. And they don't, you know, I mean, having kids was kind of an occupational hazard of vaginal intercourse and ejaculation. I worked in the federal prison system for 30 years, so I've actually had psychopathic females that I've asked them, have you ever had kids? And they'd say no. And I said, has a child passed through the birth canal right there? Oh yeah, I have had. I did give birth. Yes, I don't identify as having children. Anyway, so especially in today's world, right, where there is such a relativism and people can identify with different things.
We often talk about, particularly the male part of the relationship, but not necessarily only. But you know more about that new car that you're buying than the person that you get into a relationship with. You know, you shop around. You shop around, you look at it, you drive it, you take it, you kick the stairs, right? You know, but we get into relationships like
based on chemistry. Right?
Yeah.
That's a really good point, I gotta say. That, what do you think of that, Bruce?
Yeah, definitely.
That's a really good point, you gotta admit. So yeah, a lot of times there isn't enough R&D research and development in the early years, people don't really know. And, you know, it's also that people change, you know, as they move forward in life, even value systems change. Having children are just the strain, I think of with from what I have observed in the people I know, most people don't make it past the childbearing years, which are very, very stressful years for parents when they work and they're raising children. It's tough to operate and have a healthy relationship consistently through that period. So if you can survive till the kids are in college, but a lot of people don't. There's too much pressure in the system. Do you find that in your practices?
It's very stressful these days, and it's not. And when children get into the teen years, it's not easy parenting a teen.
No, it's not.
In these days, and that's stressful.
And of course, it depends on the teen. You know, some dish out more grief than others. You know, thank God they're not all.
Also, you brought up a point which, you know, we often say, you know, this child, they both had this, you know, all these children came from the same family and they had the same parents. But in actuality, you are a different parent for each child you have. You really are. It, you know, depending on the birth order, what's happening in your life, you do parent. And it's not a bad thing, and it's not something to criticize, but it just is different. It's a
right.
different. You really do have different relationships with different children. So you can have, you know, their perspective, you know, talk to children about their perspective of the parents, and often you'll get some interesting different stories from each one because
right,
they've had
right.
a different relationship.
They had a different experience. I think that probably relates a lot to the firstborn and the last one. You know, mm-hmm. I think that it's more dramatic in terms of how they treat the child, you know. But I think the work that you do is so, so valuable to, you know, really be concerned about the children and helping parents be healthier parents through divorce or just, you know, couples coaching, I think is couples therapy. I think it doesn't matter where a couple goes to get help. It's that they go to get help because that third party can really, really help them get to some shifts in their behaviors that maybe they never ever considered looking at. They weren't even aware of it. And the partner can be telling them and beating on their ear about it, but they just don't get it until they hear it from somebody else. I don't know if you experience that in your practice where the aha moments come, the wife or the husband could not get through to their partner until they had that third party person there.
Yes, and speaking to each other, having that third neutral ear can be really valuable for both of them.
Mm-hmm. So it's really,
And again, also role modeling. Part of what you're doing is modeling a little bit of, what I heard you say, did I get that right? I'm hearing you say this. You're going through this process with them to sometimes, they haven't, again, communicating, they haven't a clue sometimes.
And when you mirror it back to them, they may be hearing it for the first time, because I find it really interesting in coaching clients or teaching students that mirroring back can be so valuable, because when they hear you say it to them, I heard you say this, this is what I heard you say, a lot of times they can't believe they said it, which I find really interesting, so that it validates them, but it also helps them stay on track with what they're saying. And I think it brings a lot of clarity when somebody hears you tell them what you heard them say, literally. And it's like they're hearing it for the first time. I think that is so interesting.
True. Sometimes what comes, I often share that, what comes out of our mouth and into somebody else's ear is not always the same thing. So let's see what's going on here and see what you said, what they heard.
Right.
And again, like you said, when you hear it reflected back at you, it's like, oh, did I say that? Wow. That's
right.
Not really what I meant.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
I was going to say, people see things through a different lens. I know that sometimes in the couple's work, there's going to be one party that's very guarded, very suspicious, or very easily gets on the defensive, And, all I did was ask you, what time was it? Mm-hmm. And, what do you mean? Mm-hmm. What the hell? Why are you doing that to me? And so, it's like you said, reflecting back those things can be really powerful, particularly for the person who is very energetically charged or also emotional at the same time that they're talking, because there can be that kind of EF or whatever, that disconnect, they may be registering more with the emotion and not what they're doing. Yeah.
Right.
I find that with couples, I find in coaching sometimes is that in unique part, like we always say, coaching is for people who want to make changes, and often the couples that I see do, both of them. But sometimes, because there's two people, one of them really wants it more than the other, or one of them wants to do it and the other one kind of, for whatever reason, says okay, but they really haven't bought into it. So I think there's that, it's even more important that the coach develop that trust and rapport with both of the clients.
Both of them.
So that they can let down their guard and feel comfortable that.
That's curious. Do you think there's any correlation between that defensive partner being the one that really isn't interested in the work?
A correlation to what?
Well, so you have like Bruce was talking about, you have a couple and there's one that really is pressing for change and the other person is defensive and they come into a coaching session. I'm wondering if there's any correlation between the defensive partner and that defensive partner being the one who really fights the change or is very complacent about it or not interested.
Well, I can't say that I have a scientific study on that, but I would imagine that there would be a correlation at times for that person.
Yeah, I'm just curious about, if that person, the defensive person is the one that, they just want everything to stay the same, And typically the person who wants change is barking, to the person who's defensive.
I'm curious about Bruce, because I know we often get clients who say, well, you need to fix her, or he needs to be fixed, or,
Right.
And that's coming to fix the other person.
Do you see that a lot, Bruce?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. That's the name of the game over here. You know, with a lot of the clients I see, and again, once we start doing the work, we get down to the how each person plays a part in the situation that's going on here, and that each person also plays a very vital part in the healing and the moving forward and to the new place, you know, that we're going to use coaching to get to. So, but yeah, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And usually these couples things start in quite a jumbled, tangled ball. And it's fun for me to help them tease out the knots, you know, and you know, I don't have patience for many things, but I do have patience for things I do at work. So that's a good thing.
I love to undo knots, isn't it?
Yeah.
I will spend hours unraveling a knot, so I never put those two together, but that's interesting.
Yeah.
You know what? I wanted to clarify. I was thinking in my head that in my private coaching, I don't do domestic violent cases. I may work with a partner or someone to help them, but if it's domestic violence, then they need to be seen. Even though I have a certification in that batterer's intervention, I will refer them to a program or someone who's dealing with that, because that's a very dangerous, whole different dynamic.
Yes. I could see the risk there. Yeah.
So that's not my coaching. I will deal with couples, and if an issue comes up, we'll talk about it. I will be, I'm always concerned for everyone's welfare and make sure that they're doing the best things they need to do so they don't get themselves into trouble. And I encourage them to refer to where they need to be.
Right.
I don't get that a lot in my coaching. I mean, I don't usually get clients like that. I had one or two, though, where I've had to refer them.
So you refer them to the system, so to speak, where they can get support.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm fortunate, that I work with several clinical psychologists who work in that area, so I can refer them as private clients to them. I really love the group dynamic in the domestic violence programs. When they're a group of fellow men or women who are in similar circumstances and they share stories, or when the older member of the group who's gone through it and learned some skills and made some changes talks to the other newer group members. Such a powerful dynamic that, it really works really well.
And they learn from each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. And Bruce, do you see that in practice? I know you did when you were a federal agent, work with some serious situations.
Well, yeah.
That shows up sometimes in your practice?
Well, in the coaching practice, no domestic violence, anything like that. However, you know, wherever there's a sexual issue, particularly for men, there is going to be anger and hostility behind it. Make no mistake about it. It might not be to the scale of a domestic violence, but, you know, there is going to be anger behind every kind of sexual, I guess, dysfunction or whatever, obviously, you know, and that can even come in something as seemingly, you know, I caught this person using porn and but I feel betrayed in the marriage because they're thinking about somebody else other than me, and man, you peel the onion there with the porn use, and sure enough, you know, you're going to see some sublimated anger and displaced anger and some other things. So it is something that is usually dealt with in some measure, but just not to the epic level that you would see. Domestic violence.
That's interesting. Well, I think we are out of time for today. Joan, I want to thank you so much for taking the time from your schedule to join us on the show. We really appreciate it and commend you for the work you do with couples and families. Thank you for coming on today.
Well, thank you for having me. It was very nice.
And do you have a website those listeners can reach you at?
I do. Yes, my website is jwise, WISE, lifecoach.com.
Excellent. And how about a phone number that they could reach you at?
949-283-1958.
All right. Thank you so much, Joan.
Well, thank you. Hey, you too, Bruce.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Joan. Well, folks, there you have it. Another great guest for the show, telling us about couples and coaching and how it's very relevant for relationships. And sounds like she has some great experiences and agency experiences that are that run true to even.
Yeah, she's got a great background to be able to help couples, and couples that have children. You know, I think it's really important the relationship, you know, has that tune-ups, you know. So appreciate her today.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I know you have an exciting guest for us next week, so can't wait to get to that. So, folks, feel free to visit us on our Facebook page, Concierge Coaches Show, and also on the LA Talk Radio site. We have our own web page dedicated there in the content area, Channel 2, Concierge Coaches Show. Our shows are archived, and also there's links to iTunes on our Facebook page where you can listen to past shows on our podcasts, just wonderful stuff there. And folks, I can be reached at conciergecoach.net. And Cindy, what's your
website? Wisdomfoods.com, and by phone 714-943-6206. And I'm wishing everybody a great afternoon.
All right. We'll see you next time here on
Thanks,
LA Talk
Bruce.
Radio. You got it. Concierge
Take
Coach
care.
Show. Next week. Take care, everybody.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Cindy DeFerdinand, only on LA Talk Radio.